Spirit. We love you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's great to be here again a year later. I guess I was here at the Red Hot Preaching Conference this last year the first time. That was great, but I was here a year ago, too, so it's great to be back. No, I didn't completely blow it last time and get myself disinvited, but it's great to see a lot of the same faces here and get to hopefully eventually learn everyone, you know, not everyone's names, but get familiar with some of these names. Everyone seems to know who I am. It's hard to keep track of everybody, you know, in my own church, let alone somebody else's, so... of course, if you don't know who I am, if you're just wondering who's this strange man that just got up behind the pulpit and is going to preach the service tonight, I am Deacon Corbin Russell with Faithful Word Baptist Church, so I'm the deacon there, but I also oversee the church in Tucson, which is just south of Phoenix there, and I live there in Tucson, so that's kind of who I am very briefly, but again, it's just great to be here. I appreciate Pastor Jimenez having me out here and for his friendship and the encouragement that he's been to me over the years, and I'm sure everyone here in this room knows you have a great pastor, Pastor Jimenez, and a great family and his family. So it's great to be here in a church that, it's so much like the church that I'm a part of back in Phoenix, and so much like many other churches that we know of around this country, in places like Vancouver and Atlanta, and of course in Texas and other places, that are part of a movement. And maybe you don't know this if you're kind of newer here. I don't know who's new and who isn't, so I can't really read the room tonight. But maybe you don't know this, but when you're a part of this church, you're part of a bigger movement. I'm not going to say it's a denomination. It's certainly not that, but it's definitely part of a bigger movement that we call the New IFB movement. And it's great to be a part of the New IFB movement. It's something that I'm very excited to be a part of simply because of what it stands for, the things that the New IFB movement stands for. I'm very excited about those things. And in case you're wondering, what exactly is the New IFB? It's basically just an acronym for New Independent Fundamental Baptists. And of course, that's something that has been around for a while as far as the Independent Fundamental Baptist part, but the new is something that's, of course, as it indicates, new. And the Independent Fundamental Baptist, you know, that's something that we've kind of come out of, you know, many of the pastors in this movement. And, of course, just very quickly, just to kind of bring everybody up to speed, basically, if you don't know, independent in the sense that we, like the IFB, the old IFB, the new IFB, we share in common with them, you know, the belief that in the autonomy of the local church, right, to be independent. That, like I said, this isn't part of a denomination, you know, we are definitely unified by certain values and certain things that we do and certain stands that we take in the Word of God, but we aren't part of a denomination. We don't all get together and vote on things or anything like that. We're independent Baptists, which is very important. And I'm just going to blow through these very quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on any of this, but we're also fundamental. You know, we believe in the fundamentals of the faith, which is something that, you know, would cover things like the inerrancy of Scripture, the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, the atonement of Christ, the resurrection and the return of Christ. These are the basic fundamental doctrines. Of course, there's many other things we could add to that list, but that's basically, you know, your five cardinal doctrines, as they call it, and that's something that we believe around here as well. That's why we're fundamental, and of course, we're Baptist. You know, we believe things like baptism by immersion, you know, the full immersion of the believer, baptism coming after salvation. We believe in salvation by grace through faith, and we're also King James only. That's another thing that we share with the old IFB, you know, or just the IFB. That's something that we have in common with, and we have these things in common with them. You say, well, why the new then? Why put on the N there? Why put the new in front of the new IFB? Well, simply because of the fact that there are things that we believe in this brand of churches, if you will, that aren't necessarily things that are believed by the old or just the IFB. In fact, they would deny some of these things. And again, I'm not going to go into a lot of these things, but we believe here, you know, in an IFB church or a new IFB church in the post-trib, pre-wrath rapture. You know, we don't believe in the doctrine of the pre-tribulational rapture that, you know, Jesus could come back at any moment. We don't believe that here, okay, because that's not what the Bible teaches, okay? And again, I'll let, you know, your pastor fill you in on all this stuff, but we're also not, we're non-Zionist. You know, we're not going to worship, you know, the Jews over in Israel and call them God's people because the Bible clearly teaches that they're not, okay? So these are things that we believe that are different from the old IFB. This is what it means to be new IFB. Okay, these are just some of the doctrines that we believe that they don't necessarily hold to. We have, how about this one, the vocal opposition to the sodomite agenda. And you say, well, wait a minute, is the old IFB pro-sodomite? I'm starting to wonder, you know, some of them might be, you know, I don't know. But you know, they're certainly not very vocal about their opposition, are they? And around here in churches like this, we're very vocal about that. You know, that's one of the great abominations, one of the great sins that are, you know, just sweeping over this nation that we have to stand up against and cry aloud against. You know, that's something that men like your pastor are not afraid to do, to get up and just tell it like it is. And that's important. You know, and I was reminded of a few of these other things when I got here tonight, these things that when I'm here in a new IFB church that remind me so much of the new IFB church that I'm a part of, the new IFB church that I'm helping lead in Tucson. Another one that I was reminded of when I got here was that we promote big families. Amen. We promote big families. You know, we like to see people be fruitful and multiply as the scripture has commanded us to do. And also on top of that, you know, the family integration. Amen. You know, that might be something if you've always just been part of the new IFB, you might kind of take for granted the fact that you're in a family integrated church. You really have something special in that. You know, that's a very frustrating thing to have to go to a church where you want to keep your family with you and then they separate you from your children. They want to put them in a nursery. They want to put them in a junior church and play silly games and everything else. You know, it'd be very, you know, I was thinking about this. Even recently, I heard about somebody who the pastor's wife called them and said, hey, you can't come back in the nursery with your own child because it's a liability. I mean, just let that sink in for a minute. It's a liability for you to be in the nursery with your own child. It's crazy. And so praise God that, you know, in the new IFB, we believe in a family-integrated church, that we, you know, believe in the big families. But, you know, probably one of the things that I get most excited about in the new IFB churches is the soul winning. Amen. You know, a little bit more about me. Before I moved to Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, you know, about 10 years ago, you know, in 2013, I moved out there. And I moved out there really, you know, I found Pastor Anderson, as so many people have found him, you know, on the internet, on YouTube, when you could still find him pretty easily, when he was still in the suggestions, you know, when you'd watch one, and then I was just like, it was just Pastor Anderson sermon after Pastor Anderson's, the good old days of YouTube, right? And by the way, if you need to find Pastor Anderson's sermons, just contact the church. We'll get him to you. He's still on YouTube. He's still there. He's just a little bit harder to find. I think we're on our like 50th channel now or something like that. I don't. We're not even keeping track anymore. We're just anyway. But I heard, you know, Pastor Anderson's preaching, and I was had been part of a church for 10 years there, an IFB church, an old IFB church, and was serving in that church. And you know, I'm not going to go into all of it. You know, things were going on, but it came to a place where we were going to have to make a decision. We were going to have to end up going to another church. And, you know, we visited another church here and there around the area in northern Michigan. But I kept, you know, listening to Pastor Anderson. And I said, man, I really want to learn how to go soul winning. Amen. And I knew if I just went to another old IFB church, you know, it was just going to be more of the same. And look, I'm not against everything that they're doing. But the fact is, you know, we've been called to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. And to do that in the most efficient and effective way that we can, which is door-to-door soul winning. To go out and knock on someone's door and open the Bible and give them an opportunity to hear, you know, the gospel of salvation preached to them clear and straight. You know, not going through all of this dog and pony show or whatever, all this rigmarole of, you know, first get the kids and then lure them in with a special day where you got to get a pony there and you got to make a 1,000 or 100-foot Sunday. I mean, I've done these things. I've swallowed goldfish. You know, I've been hit in the face with pies. I've had kids shooting paint gun balls at me, you know, just to try and get the parents to come out. You know, and try so maybe that they might get preached down an aisle and be led to the Lord at an altar. You know, all I wanted to do was just go preach the gospel to somebody. I wanted somebody to show me how to just go and just preach the gospel to someone. And I said, you know, I know there's at least one guy in Tempe, Arizona, there's at least one pastor who's running a church that is doing exactly that. Amen. And I said, you know, it's 2,000 miles. It's, you know, my wife's 6 months pregnant. You know, I've got about $1,500 in the bank. And the tires are almost bald on the Camry, and I don't have a job, but we're going, you know, because I care. I was excited about the soul winning. You know, that's something I'm still excited about to this day about this movement is the soul winning that it does. And I never want to see that go away because, quite frankly, it's not something that's really getting done a lot, is it? You know, all the good things about the old IFB, they've really dropped the ball on the soul winning, to be perfectly honest. Are you saying no one's doing it? No, I'm sure there are some that are out there doing it, but it's few and far between. You know, just in the 2 years I've lived in Tucson, just this last weekend, you know, we had the Jehovah Witnesses at our door for like the second time this month. You know, I saw them, I was out walking around my neighborhood, and somehow you just know when it's Jehovah Witnesses, right? Because they all kind of walk, but they got that slow walk, and anyway, I saw them. Who else is going to be out, you know, dressed like that on a Saturday? I don't know. But I was just like, those are Jehovah Witnesses, and I turned around and went the other way. You know, just not going to deal with it. But I've had them come there. I've had the Mormons there, pulling out in the church van, you know, going to church, pulling out of my driveway. The Mormons are getting out of the car, and I just look at them and go, no. You know, because they look at me, and they're waving. They're like, oh, fellow Christians. Like, you're not a Christian. You know, and I wanted to make sure they knew that I disapproved of them being there. You know, but I've had Mormons there several times. I've had Jehovah Witnesses at my door. You know what? The Baptists did finally, the old IFB church that's about, I'm literally 5 minutes away from my house, finally came to my door this Christmas. You know what they did? They left a door hanger. They just put a little thing and invite, hey, come to our Christmas Easter service. I'm not against door hangers, but it's like, while you're there, why don't you knock on my door? You know, we're there. How do you know that they did knock on your door? Because we're literally there like every day. It's very hard to catch us when we're not home. You know, we're a homeschooling family. There's constantly somebody at the house unless we're at church. So that's something I'm still very excited about and I love to see in these new IFB churches is the soul winning. And that's not something I ever want to lose. And I'm glad that we have this movement that's kind of come out of the old IFB movement. And, you know, some people might kind of criticize or try to cast shade on that, you know, the idea that we're trying to be a little bit different or just do things differently or just have a different take on things. But, you know, newsflash, the old IFB came out of something too. They were a movement. They still are a movement. It's not like you wouldn't say of the 12 apostles that they were old IFB. You know, they weren't even considered Baptists. There's always been Biblists, you know, Biblicists. There's always been believers. There's always been Bible believers. But, you know, Baptist is a term that's only come around, you know, in modern history. That's not something that's been around for a very long time. You know, they came out of the Southern Baptist Convention. So my point is this, is that, you know, movements are always starting up. Movements are kind of always coming and going. In fact, just being called Christians, you know, that was something that happened, you know, to the church in the first century there. You know, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And that's where they were first called Christians. We weren't called Christians through the Old Testament. You know, that's something that happened. You know, they just saw this movement of people that had been following Christ and were preaching the gospel and baptizing people. And they said, hey, there's this new thing going on. There's something different now. They're not meeting in a synagogue. They're not, you know, observing the Old Testament law. You know, they're preaching Christ. They're Christians. Okay? So this idea of movements starting and coming out of other movements, this isn't, we're the new IFB. But being a part of a movement is not a new thing, is what I'm getting at. That's something that's always been around, and it's something that will continue to be around. I mean, we could go to Hebrews 11, but we won't. But think about how there's even people of whom the world was not worthy, as it says there in Hebrews 11. There's people that aren't movements that have come and gone that we don't even know about, I believe. But we are just another movement that's come along. And really, the new IFB movement is a young movement, isn't it? You know, I was talking to Pastor Jimenez, trying to kind of figure this out. When was it when all the new IFB pastors got together, you know, at that time, which I think was just you and Pastor Anderson, really just two of them, right? And got together and said, we're going to start the new IFB, and here's our confession of faith, and we're going to sign it. Anybody wants to? But that's not how it went, right? It just kind of happened. It was something that just kind of took place. It was just people getting together that were excited about, you know, the Bible and the hard preaching and the soul winning and these doctrines being just clearly, you know, taught from the Bible behind the pulpits. It was just people getting excited about that. You know, when do you say that happened? Well, it's kind of hard to put a specific date on it, isn't it? But, you know, we put our heads together for a minute. We kind of figured it's been at least 10 years. It's been around 10 years that this new IFB movement has been a thing. And, you know, you think that's a long time. It's really not. You know, it's still a very young movement. And here's the thing. I want the new IFB movement to continue. You know, even after, you know, a lot of us who maybe were here when it got started, when the ball got rolling, kind of pass off the scene, you know, I'd hate for this great soul-winning, Bible-preaching movement to just come to a screeching halt when just, you know, a few pastors kind of, you know, get old and pass on. We need this movement to continue. We need this to continue moving forward. We need to maintain our momentum. And let me just say this, you know, there's some people out there, you know, at least I've heard, I don't know, I don't really follow every, you know, everything every detractor says, every person that's gotten embittered against the new IFB. But I've heard people say things, or it's been told me that people have said, hey, the new IFB movement is dying. And it's like, you could have fooled me. Right. You know, I'm looking around tonight and thinking, excuse me, this is a new IFB church. How is the new IFB dying? Right. You know, your attendances are the highest they've ever been. Is that right? I mean, that's same case back in Faithful Word. Attendance is as high as they've ever been. More churches have been planted in the last 10 years than when we came into this thing, when this thing got started. How is the new IFB dying? Well, the truth is that it's not. You know, that's just something people say for their own sake. They, it's very convenient for them to say that. The fact is that the new IFB is still going strong. Amen. You know, I just want to preach to you tonight that I want that to continue. I want that momentum to grow and to keep going forward because this is an important movement that you're part of. The things that this movement stands for are very important. I believe that. So I want to preach a sermon tonight entitled The Needs of the New IFB. The Needs of the New IFB. And if that title doesn't warn you already, let me just go ahead and say it, that this is probably the most alliterated sermon I've ever written. All right? I'm not going to say it's the most alliterated sermon that's ever been preached behind this pulpit. I don't know. That could give me a run for my money over there, but you know, it's certainly the most alliterated one I've ever, and it just happened that way, okay? So I just brace for that, okay? But, and it doesn't, it's not N, but I couldn't even get away from it in the title, The Needs of the New IFB, okay? So I just want to preach today, what do we need of the new IFB to keep the momentum going, to keep this thing going? Not that, and again, I'm not trying to resuscitate it, I'm not trying to revive it, I'm not trying to hold on it as it slips away. I'm saying this movement's going strong, this movement is still winning souls, this movement is still going to be planting churches. What do we need to keep that going, to keep this moving forward? What are the needs of the new IFB? So the first thing I want to point out is that the new IFB needs participants, not pains in the neck. Now, I don't know if that's the right grammar on pains. Is it pains in the necks? Or is it, I don't know. I don't know how you may, I think I got a grammar right on it, but pains in the neck. We need participants, not people who are a pain in the neck. So on that first point, we need people who are going to participate, people who are going to be what? Members of the body of Christ. Okay? If you look there in Ephesians chapter number 1, look at verse 22, and it says, and he hath put all things under his feet, speaking of Christ, and gave him to be head over all things to the YouTube channel. Gave him to be head over all things to the live stream on Facebook. No, it says all things to the church. You know, we need people to get involved in the local church. Amen. To get involved in local new IFB churches. You know, and it would shock you probably how many people live even in this city that listen to new IFB preaching but don't come to this church. There's people in even in Tucson, which is, you know, isn't exactly the biggest city, but there's even people there that I know of that they'll reach out to the church, they'll reach out to Faithful Word, and they'll reach out to Pastor Anderson and say, hey, I live in Tucson. I'm like, hey, there's a church in Tucson. I'm glad you're a big fan of Pastor Anderson. I'm glad you love his preaching. We got a church plant in Tucson that's doing everything that you're excited about. Oh, well, you know, that's not what's going to help keep this church moving or this movement moving forward. We need people to get involved in the church. And let me say this, too. Even if you can't be part of a new IFB church, get involved in an old IFB church. Go to a church. Go there and be a blessing. And really, that's a whole other sermon that probably will be preached if it hasn't already. That we need people to get involved in local churches, local Baptist churches. Because really, it's not about the movement. It's about what this movement is accomplishing. Amen. You know, and we can accomplish a lot of these same things even in old IFB churches. People could go to an old IFB church, go in there, be a blessing, sit down, learn from the man. And again, I don't want to give people the wrong impression that, you know, the old IFB churches are somehow, you know, not worth attending. They are. You know, it always amazes me when people reach out to us, or I hear from people who just say, well, I can't be part of that church because they don't believe on this doctrine, they don't believe on that doctrine. And it's like, hello, you know, maybe you should consider the fact that men like Pastor Jimenez came up in a church like that. Men like Pastor Stephen Anderson came up in a church just like that, that preached those exact things. I spent, you know, it sounds like you're doing time. I spent 10 years in the old IFB. You know, I did 10 long years. How long a stretch did you do, brother? I did 10 years, man, right? But I mean, I learned a lot of great things in the old IFB. I mean, I learned a lot of great things about working hard and being loyal to the pastor and being free to thrive and even being a bus captain, going out there, and a lot of great lessons were learned in the old IFB. And people can still go to these other churches, these other Baptist churches, and still live fruitful lives for Christ. I believe that. Yeah, but they're wrong about the Jews. So what? Right. Yeah, but they're wrong about the rapture. Not a big deal. You know what? Well, they're wrong about just some obscure doctrine. It's not that big a deal. Look, if they're King James only and they're right on the gospel, go there. That's all you need. Or you could just sit at home and just continue to watch, you know, the new IFB movement doing all the work that it's doing and you not being a part of any of it in any way, shape, or form. That's kind of the option. Now, I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir tonight. Obviously, you're all here, right? But we need people to be participants in the body of Christ. The body, as it says there in verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The body of Christ is what fills all, the body of him is fills all in all. I mean, it sounds like if Christ is the head and we're the body, that's a pretty important relationship. I mean, I don't ever want to have my head detached from my body. You know, I kind of want to keep those things together. It's kind of hard to get anything done with when the head is removed from the body or the body is removed from the head. You know, life kind of ends at that point. You know, spiritually speaking, that's what we need. You know, Christ, of course, is in the head, but he needs the body of Christ here on earth in these local churches to accomplish his will, to get the work done that he needs to get done. One of the needs that we have in the new IFB is for people to be participants in the program of the church, whether it be new IFB or old IFB, it doesn't matter. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'll just read to you in verse 12, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the comment section. No, it's seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. So many people get zealous about some of the things that we believe in the new IFB, you know, but they should be zealous, and that's great to be zealous, but they should be zealous of spiritual gifts that edify the church. That don't edify, you know, some chat group. That actually edify, you know, a local New Testament church, old IFB or new. Now you say, hey, I'm here. You know, move along. Next point, right? I get it. But here, how about this? We need people who have a personal spirituality. Amen. People who have an actual, authentic walk with Christ of their own. Because, you know, you can come to any church. You can come to an old IFB church. You can come to a new IFB church and sit there like a bump on a log and have no spirituality. Possible. Look at Ephesians chapter number 1 again. Look at verse 15. He said, wherefore I also, if I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love in all saints, cease not give thanks for you, making mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may what? May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. Paul's prayer for them is that their eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that the Father of glory would give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He's saying, look, I want God to fill you. I want God to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. I want the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. I want you to know what is the hope of his calling. I want you to know what the riches of his glory is, inheritance in the saints. He wants us to know these things. He wants us to have a real spiritual walk. That's what the new IFB needs. You know, and praise God, the new IFB has that. You know, I'm not saying, you know, everyone in the new IFB is this spiritual deadbeat and needs to get right. But I'm saying tonight that in order for this movement, this great soul-winning, Bible-believing movement to continue on from generation to generation, it's going to take the next generation getting up and having a prayer like this answered for them to have their own eyes open, to be enlightened themselves, and to have the wisdom and the revelation, the knowledge of God that God wants to give to you. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and giveth unto all men liberally, and it shall be given him. Amen. It's not like God is holding out wisdom and knowledge and revelation like some carrot on a stick, trying to just make us do things that we don't want to do. God wants to give us that wisdom, that knowledge, and that understanding. All we have to do is just go and ask for it humbly and meekly. And God will give it to us if we go in faith. That's what we need in the new IFB for this movement to continue forward, to maintain the momentum that it has, that it needs to have participants with a personal spirituality. Okay, so that's what it does need when it comes to this idea of participants. So what's the opposite? What it doesn't need is people who are just a pain in the neck. Okay, and maybe this is just me kind of getting things off my chest tonight. I don't know. But it doesn't need people who are going to do what? Pick the pastor apart about the decision he makes. You know, that's one of the most carnal things you could do. It always amazes me when a pastor or a man of God makes a decision about the church, and sometimes it's just the most carnal, basic thing. It's like, well, it's the color of the carpet. You know, I don't like the color of the park carpet that he picked out. I don't like the painting that he put up on the wall. That's carnal. Right. Sit there and pick the pastor apart about little stupid things, little dumb decisions that you disagree with. You know, we need people to, you know, have a little bit more spirituality in that. Amen. And look, I'm not saying you have to like the color or all these, like all the decisions that your pastor makes, but can you at least keep it to yourself? Amen. Can you at least just go along with the program? Amen. Can you at least just get involved and not be a pain in the neck and not be just another obstacle that he has to kind of work around and actually just be a blessing in your local church? Amen. If you would, keep something there in Ephesians. But go over to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. You know, this carnal attitude can slip into churches. And even in new IFB churches, look, I've seen it. And it, you know, wouldn't shock me if there, you know, were people here that maybe are a little bit, I'm just saying, I know I don't know you all, you know, but there might maybe possibly be somebody that's maybe a little bit of a pain in the neck. No, it's not possible, right? It is possible. In fact, it would actually shock me if there wasn't. Because even Christ, you know, he had this same problem. He made decisions. He told people, his disciples how it was going to be. And they're saying, nope, that's not the way it's going to be. And they're arguing with Christ. I mean, Paul had problems with people in the Corinthians, right? They were kind of being a pain in the neck. They're saying, you know, his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. And they're criticizing the Apostle Paul. Look, if people can criticize the Apostle Paul, he can certainly criticize any man of God over, you know, stupid things, carnal things. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day, saying, look, I'm going to go and be crucified. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Look, when Jesus says this is the way it's going to be, that's the way it's going to be. Amen. You know, he says, this is the decision I make. This is the decision that I've made. This is how what I'm going to do. You know, it'd be a pretty foolish thing to grab him and say, it's not going to be like that, right? And of course, we know Peter, he's probably coming from a place just, you know, he has good intentions. He means well. But it just goes to show you that even in Christ's church, even amongst his disciples, people can get this attitude of, well, I just don't agree with the decision that you made. You know, and that can carry over even into local churches today. we know how it turned out, verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Whenever I read that, I always think that maybe the Catholics are on to something about Peter being the first pope. You know, they always say, oh, Peter was the first pope. I'm like, what are you talking about? Then you read that where Jesus is calling him Satan. I'm like, well, maybe they're on to something there, because that makes a little bit more sense. Anyway, that's a different sermon. You know, don't be a pain in the neck. Don't be one of these people who pout about not getting things their way. Right. You know, and even if it's, you know, it's one thing to argue about, you know, the decor. It's one thing to argue about, you know, something that is just kind of carnal in the church, something that doesn't really have major significance. But what about when the pastor gets up and preaches a sermon, you know, thus saith the Lord, and he's like, I just don't like that. I just don't like that he preached that. I have a real big problem with what he just said. You know, I don't think I really liked what he said there. You know, that's pouting. And then you're going to go around and tell other people. And then, it always blew my mind. When I first started preaching, you know, this blows my mind. People, I would hear pastors get up and say things like, now I'm going to say this, but don't come up to me after the service and argue with me. I'm like, nobody does that. Nobody goes up right up to the pastor right after the service and tells him, oh, I don't like what you said, or I try to argue with him about what was preached, do they? And then I started preaching. I was like, people do that. People will walk right up to you and say, well, I appreciate what you said, but what I didn't appreciate was. I'm just like, good night, no wonder they say that. Look, if it's what the Bible says, what's the point in arguing about it? Right. Oh, you didn't like that sermon? You didn't like that passage I turned to about divorce or adultery or child rearing? You didn't like some part of the passage of the Bible that, well, I'm sorry, let me just change the Bible for you. Let me just change what the Bible says so you don't get your feelings hurt anymore. You know, don't pout. Don't be a pain in the neck. Here's one. Don't push your pastor into situations that are outside of his scope of authority. Amen. You know, I'm not, you know, and whatever that is, you know, each pastor can determine where that authority begins and ends, obviously. But I see this a lot of times where people are trying to get the pastor involved in situations that really he doesn't want to be, needs to be involved in, to make decisions that aren't his to make. Push pastors into situations. Don't pout about not getting things your own way. Don't be a pain in the neck. Participate. Get on board. Be a blessing in the church. That's how the new IFB is going to continue. That's how this momentum is going to keep going forward when people decide to be participants and not pains in the necks. That was really bothering, that pains in the necks. The grammar is killing me. So let's just move on beyond that point, okay? Let's get away from that thing. What we need also, in order to keep the momentum going in this movement, is we need people who are partners and not poachers. Amen. We need people who are partners and not poachers. And this probably would, you know, fall more into the territory of other pastors, okay? And I'm going to tread lightly here because I really don't want to, you know, start calling out pastors or anything like that. But if you've been around a while, you know what I'm talking about. That there's been pastors that have joined themselves to this movement and then have turned around and, you know, stabbed other pastors in the back and are now basically our enemies. You know, we've had people come out of the old IFB, other pastors. They see what's going on here. They get excited. You know, they hear about, you know, the pre-tribulation rapture being false. You know, if someone explains that to them, even though it's just as plain as a nose on your face in the scripture. Then they hear about the Jews, and they're like, oh, they find out we're right about that. Then they see the soul winning, and then they see the youth that's coming in here. They see all the young people coming in. They see the big families. They see the crowds. They see the excitement. They see the zeal, and they want to be a part of it, and amen. You know, it'd be great to have some people, some old other pastors come and join us and join us in this movement of soul winning and Bible preaching. I mean, we need more people to do that. We need more people in more pulpits across this country to get up and preach against the sodomites and to start a, you know, soul-winning revival in this country to carry on. We're few and far between. You know, but what we need are people who are going to come in and be partners and not poachers and come in and just try to gather a little following to themselves and then get bitter and then get angry and then decry the new IFB and then go out there and just, you know, become basically our enemies. And then start picking apart other men of God. The new IFB needs partner. And you can apply this even as church members as well. So what does it mean to be a partner? Well, it means to play well with others. Learn to play well with others. Meaning you don't part over petty differences. Amen. You know, you start to pick people apart and you want to separate over these petty, insignificant things. COVID. I'm not saying I have COVID. You know, people, obviously, that was like a big thing. And some of you are probably scratching your head going, what was COVID again? Oh, yeah, that whole thing back in 2020. Remember that? You know, when Bill Gates was trying to take over the world? Whatever happened with that, right? But that was like one of those things. It's just like of all the things that people could get upset over, it was COVID. You know, and again, I'm not going to go into that whole thing about why what people's real motives might have been behind that. But, you know, people who want to come into the movement and be partners with us, you know, they're not going to pick other pastors apart over little trivial things like that.
Amen. Well, I just don't, you know, I don't rub shoulders with people who rub shoulders with Calvinists.
It's like, okay. You know, then you go off and preach some strange thing about, you know, Mary, you know, just being in the oven. It's crazy. Well, but we'll still be friends with that guy. They don't part over petty differences. They don't pit people against each other. You know, this is something I see a lot. Well, that's not how they do it in that church. Well, that's not how they do it at Faithful Word. That's not how they do it at Verity. That's not, you know, that. Well, Pastor Anderson preaches it. Well, Pastor Menez preaches this. Well, Pastor Aaron Thompson, he preached a little differently. What do you think about that? When you think about the fact that they don't agree with you on that doctrine or they do things differently than you do it, Pastor? What do you think about that? You know what most of those, you know, what real men of God would say to that? People who just want to participate and be partners and not poachers would say, they'd say, I don't care. Amen. It's his pulpit. It's his church. Let him run his church however he wants. Amen. It's a petty little thing that you're, oh, well, you know, they over there, they have a Christmas program. What do you think about that? I bet it's pretty nice. If I were in town, I'd go watch it. I bet it's a pretty exciting Christmas program they got over there. Oh, they over in Tucson, they do a candlelight service. Sounds pretty Catholic to me, don't you think, Pastor Meadows? Doesn't that sound kind of Catholic to you? He might even think that sounds a little Catholic. And he'll say, I don't care. It's not my church. They're not going to pit people against each other. You know, they're going to pit other churches. You know, and this goes for everybody in the crowd, too. You know, don't pit other Christians against other Christians. You know, don't be one of these people that's a talebearer. Don't be a man, as it says in Proverbs, who sows strife and a whisper who separateth chief friends. You know, people try to drive a wedge into between people. We need unity in the local church. That's something you have to strive for, the Bible tells us. We have to strive for the spirit of unity. That's something we have to work at. Meaning you need to be a team player. You need to be a partner. Don't be petty. Understand the big picture. You know, this is what you say, how can pastors just look over differences? How can Christians, you know, just look over other the differences between them and other Christians? How can they just get over little things, maybe even things that they don't agree with? How can they just move on? Because they understand that the big picture, it's not about us. It's about Christ. Well, I don't know if I could be in that old IFB church because they're not doing it exactly like Faithful Word. They're not doing it exactly like Verity. Well, are they preaching the gospel? Are they preaching from the kingdom? Well, it sounds to me like they got one thing right. It's about Christ. It's not about a man. It's not about any one person. Go to Ephesians chapter number 3. You know, this is a spirit that's out there. This is something that people have in their hearts. They think it's about, you know, it's a cult of personality or something. It's not. You know, the pastors in this movement, they didn't start new IFB churches because they love being protested by, you know, the sodomites. You know, that's not what they're like. Boy, I'd love to start a new IFB church and just be persecuted. I'm pretty sure that's why Pastor Shelley, that's not why he got into the ministry. Well, I'd just love to be persecuted by the sodomites for the next couple of years. I'd like to be just run out of building from building to building. I'd love to just be, you know, the troubler of Texas, right? You know why he got into it? You know why any man of God gets into this movement or any behind any pulpit that is preaching the gospel? It's for the gospel. Amen. It's for Christ. Look there in Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know, the reason why we start these churches, the reason why we do what we do and preach the way that we preach is because we want to bring glory unto Christ. Amen. We want Christ to be glorified in the church above all things. So, you know, in order to do that, you kind of have to understand the big picture. And we understand that everything, the whole motive behind what everything that the pastor is trying to do, the man of God is trying to do, is the glory of Christ. You know, that's going to kind of help you get over maybe some little trivial difference you have with him. Maybe that'll keep you from, you know, trying to pick people apart or try to pit your pastor against another pastor or compare your church to another church. We just understand that every church that's in this movement is just wants to glorify Christ, that just wants to bring souls to glory, that just want to get as many people saved as they can. That's the point of the church. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. You know, that's something that, you know, Paul and others wrote about, you know, extensively. If you would go to Galatians chapter number 5, he said in Jude chapter 1, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 26, let us not be desirous of vain glory. Vain glory. Look, and here's the point I kind of want to close on this point, is that, you know, we don't have a really good track record with old IFB guys joining this group. In fact, I don't think there's any left, right? There's none. Everyone that's joined is not only not a part of this movement anymore, but it's like they're opposed to it. It doesn't stop them from putting new IFB hashtags in their videos, even though they're opposed to, you know, the guys that are, you know, who really got this thing going. They still want to claim new IFB. But here's my point, is that, you know, in order for the new IFB continue on, to have churches like this go on and to have churches like this get started, we can't really rely on the old IFB guys to come in and do that for us. Right. What we need are men within this movement to rise up and to meet the qualifications and to do the work and to do what's necessary in order to continue to start other churches. Amen. You know, that's the vision that I know my pastor has, and I'm sure your pastor has, you know, for his area, for the state of California, and yeah, even the world. Amen. To see churches like this start all across this nation. Why? For vainglory? No, for the glory of Christ. Amen. So that souls would be saved. You know, there's people out there that could use a church like this in their area. You know, they would love nothing more than to have someone roll into town and start a church that's on fire for soul winning and for, you know, big families, and it's going to take a strong stand against the Sodomites. It's going to stand for all these things. It isn't going to grovel at the feet of Israel. You know, that it's not going to tell you that you're a liability if you want to go into, you know, the nursery with your child, try to separate family, you know. We look at those things, we take them for granted, but you know what? There's people all across this country, that's what they want and that's what they need. And they're in cities where there's people that would get saved. There's just all across this country and this world, there's people in cities that would just get saved by the thousands, if somebody would just go there and preach them the gospel. Amen. You know, and we can't really rely on the old IFB guys to come into this movement and then get on fire. And then, you know, follow in our steps and to help us accomplish that. Because it seems to me like a lot of them that have are just in it for vainglory. You know, they just want to poach. They just want to come in and gather, you know, leech all the listeners that they can and then go, oh, now just only listen to me. We're all going to take a vote and we're all going to agree not to listen to new IFB preaching. Okay, well then take the hashtag off your video. You know, we're going to come in and just get all the listeners that we can, and then we're going to tell them, you know, our listeners that we got through Pastor Anderson, Pastor Jimenez, why we're better than them or why they need to quit listening to them. You know, it's weird. Right. It's not to the glory of Christ. Right. You know, what we need are people within this movement to rise up and men in this movement to get on fire and to take seriously the idea of going out and starting churches. Amen. We don't need people who want to just come in and split churches. We don't need people who want to come in and just leech away listeners. We need people that are going to, and look, this happens. And it's not any surprise that this type of thing happens where people just come in and then they draw away disciples after them. And that's exactly what Paul warned them would happen, right? In Acts 20, I'll just read to you. He said, "For this I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you." He said, shall, it will happen. And look, I'm not saying that the old IFB guys who joined this movement are wolves that have entered in among us. Okay, but it does say that that of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. You know, they're just going to smear other men of God just so they can draw away their own disciples and just have their own group of listeners so they can just feel important. You know, that's not right. It's not a good attitude. It's not the right spirit. We need people that are not desirous of vainglory, that are not out to just provoke one another, that are not envying one another, but they just want to bring glory unto Christ. They just want to provide the much-needed type of churches that we need in this country. Yeah. I'll close with this. What do we need? What are the needs of the new IFB? You know, what are they? What do we look at tonight? We looked at the fact that they need to have participants, right? We need people to be participants, not pains in the neck. We need people who are going to be partners with us and not just out to poach, not out just for their own vainglory. But lastly, what we need is the power of God. Whether you're an old IFB, new IFB, whatever, you need the power of God in your life. Because what is it, we're trying to accomplish in these churches? The preaching of the gospel. You know, the expounding of the word of God. That's what, you know, you need the power of God for that. Go to Matthew chapter number 16. Keep something, I know I had you turn away already, but if you have something in Ephesians, that'd be great if you could stay there. But if not, we're going to go back to Ephesians 3. But go over to Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." You know, that's what we want in this movement. We want to bring forth much fruit. You should want to bring forth much fruit, you know, in your own personal life. Amen. You know, you ought to be the type of soul winner who wants to go out and have God use you in a mighty way. You want to be able to preach the gospel with power. You want to be able to preach it with conviction. You want to be able to preach it with a burden. You need the power of God in order to do that. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. You know, that's something that I'm realizing more and more as I'm in the ministry, is that the ministry would just drive a person who's sincere to their knees and just ask God, please help. Please, I can't do this without you. We need the power of God more than anything, more than any of these other things. You need the power of God in your life. You know, no movement, no matter how great, is going to accomplish anything without the power of God. And by the way, this is, you know, kind of an encouraging point, because look at what we've accomplished in this movement in just 10 years. Amen. You know, I haven't counted, but there's churches that all across, you know, there's multiple churches out there. You know, it's been a while since I sat down and went through the numbers, but it's like 9, 10, 11. You know how many there were 10 years ago? There's 2. You know, it's more than doubled. It's more than tripled. Amen. You know, how did that happen? The power of God? Amen. That tells me that the power of God is in this movement. Oh, the new IFB is dying. Well, how come, if we're dying, if we don't have the power of God, why are we accomplishing great work for God then? Why are people just on their own accord, just church members, just on their own even? It's not even a church sanctioned missions trip, just getting together and saying, hey, we're going to go to the Bahamas and preach the gospel for a week and get 300 plus people saved. Amen. So how does that happen? The power of God. People get a burden. People just want to go out and just preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. They just want to go out there and preach the gospel and the power of God. You know, we're accomplishing things. You know, and that one trip that I just mentioned, I mean, that's something that is happening all the time. There's churches constantly, you know, sending people to Belize and sending people, you know, to small towns. I mean, good night over in Arizona. We're knocking, literally, our goal is to knock every door in that state. Amen. And you say, boy, that's going to take a long time. We're closing in on that. Like, that's happening.
Amen.
I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen in my lifetime. I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen. How is that? You know, how are we accomplishing that? Through the power of God. Amen. That's why so many people are being saved. And here's the thing. Again, no movement is going to accomplish anything without the power of God. We're going to have you go, Matthew. Matthew 16, it says in verse 18, and I say unto thee, we all know this, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why are the gates of hell not going to prevail? Because he's going to build his church. It's going to be done in the power of Christ. Go over to Galatians chapter number 5. The Bible says in 2 Timothy that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's saying in 2 Timothy that God has given us the spirit of power. Where do you get the power of God in your life? From God. That's the only place you're going to get it. And that's what we need more than anything in this movement, is the power of God. And again, God wants to give us that power. He said in Galatians chapter, well, you know what? I'll just read to you from Ephesians chapter 3. We'll close with Galatians chapter number 5. But in Ephesians chapter number 3, I'll just read from verse 7. He says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. I mean, think about everything that the Apostle Paul accomplished. I mean, he's penning the New Testament. Talk about starting churches. He's starting churches across, you know, all across the continent. You know, churches here, churches there. He's getting thousands of people saved. He's preaching these just great sermons. He's writing the New Testament. I mean, God is using him mightily. He's accomplishing all of these things, all these great things. I mean, it's a pretty safe bet you could say that the Apostle Paul was the greatest Christian that ever lived outside of Christ. I think that's you hear people, preachers say it all the time. You know, I believe that. Great man of God. And he said, you know, and it was all accomplished through my charming personality. It was all accomplished because I'm just such an eloquent speaker. It was all accomplished because, after all, I'm the Apostle Paul. You know, how else do you think this got done? That's not what, you know, Paul, you know, never said that. Paul said that the gift of the grace of God was given unto him by what? The effectual working of his power. Amen. Is that everything that I've done in the power of God. Amen. You know, and I'm preaching tonight about what this movement needs, the needs of the new IFB. Not because it needs to be resuscitated, not because, you know, we're hanging on by a very thin thread here, but because, you know, I want to see it keep going. I mean, I was excited enough for this movement before it was even a movement, really. to be a part of it, you know, and kind of put myself out there on a limb just to go out and do the works that the new IFB is doing. You know, I want to see this continue. You know, and if it's, even if it's not even the new IFB, even if it goes under, you know, becomes something else, some other name, if it's just known by, I don't care. As long as it's still accomplishing the works that the new IFB is accomplishing. But what do we need? We need people who are going to participate. We need people who are going to be partners in this. We need men to rise up and start these churches and take that work upon them. And we need the power of God in our lives. So how am I going to do that? Walk in the Spirit. And look, I'm closing on a very broad point on the power of God. You know, and obviously, you know, walking in the Spirit says there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. How are you going to get the power of God in your life? By walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And that encompasses a lot of things, right? Bible reading, prayer, getting the sin out of your life, church attendance. You know, that encompasses a lot of things. You know, that's what this church is here to help you do. This church is here to help you to walk in the Spirit. This church is here to help you get the power of God in your life. And that's what the church is there for. I mean, that's a pretty amazing thing to think about, that the church that you're a part of, the reason why it's there is, you know, obviously has the task of preaching the gospel to every creature, fulfilling that mission that Christ has given unto us. But it's also to facilitate the power of God in your life. You know, and this is what is so frustrating when you see people who just don't, you know, they're hit and miss with church. Or they're just, they have this kind of take it or leave it attitude with church. Well, when it's convenient, I'll be there. You're telling me having the power of God in your life is convenient? You're thinking, oh, I'm just passing on church. No, you might be passing on a sermon or a series or multiple sermons that are going to help you get the power of God in your life. Amen. Which is what we need if we're going to accomplish, you know, the work that we've already begun in this movement. We need that. Look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I just love how it's so just kind of matter of fact. Look, you live in the Spirit. You know, Christ has revived you in the Spirit. You know, you've been born again. You've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption, until the day of the purchased possession. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You already live in it. You're going to have eternal life. Why not walk in it? You know, the power of God is going to resurrect you one day out of the grave and present you faultless before the throne of God. Why not walk in that same Spirit? Why not just start walking in the power of God now? I love how that he phrases that there. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, get the Spirit of God in your life. Our movement has, by the power of God, and will continue by the power of God, to accomplish much for God's kingdom. I believe that. This movement has accomplished many things, even in the short 10 years that it's been around. And by the power of God, by the grace of God, you know, if God's people choose to participate and they choose to, you know, be a help in the ministry and to get the power of God in their lives, this movement will continue to do great things for God. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, again, thank you again for this church. Thank you for these people. And Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit, his filling. Thank you for the power of God that is available to each and every one of us. Lord, I pray help us to take advantage of that, Lord, that we would seek your face, seek your word, and Lord, that we would each be filled with your Spirit. And Lord, that you'd help us to walk in newness of life. Lord, you'd help us to walk in the works that you've ordained for us to do. And Lord, I pray you would bless this church and you would continue to bless, Lord, churches like this who are on fire for the things of God, on fire for the things that you desire for us to be zealous about, Lord, for the soul winning and for the preaching. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Please turn your songbooks to page number 300.